And the church said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, musicians. God richly bless you. Let's open our Bibles, if we could, to, amen, Leviticus chapter 17. I'm just going to turn that fan on, brother, for me, just for a moment. Amen. Leviticus chapter 17. We're happy to be in the house of God.
Amen.
Right. Amen. There's no other place we would rather be.
You're right.
Than to be in God's house and be worshiping and praising the Lord. Amen. If you're happy tonight, can you smile?
Amen. Praise
amen. I didn't ask anybody to say amen. Just smile. That's good. Now, the extra amens were great.
Yes, amen.
Amen. But I'm just under expectation that you'd smile at me tonight a little bit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Leviticus chapter 17. It's on the screen tonight, verse 10. Now remember, these are the instructions the Lord has given Moses in the keeping of the commandments and in the law. And hear what the Lord says through Moses. He says, and whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn amongst you, that eat any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood, and I will cut him off from among his people.
Amen.
Verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood.
Yep, that's right.
And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. What a commandment.
Yes.
And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you, that hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. For it is the life of the flesh, the blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no manner of flesh. For the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. Whosoever eateth, it shall be cut off. What an instruction to Moses, to the children of Israel. May the Lord richly bless you. You can have your seats tonight.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Now, we have read the message, we know the Bible, and these things that we're going to speak to you tonight are of no strange interpretation. And we want to talk today about the atonement, and I want to title it just a little bit different. If you'll move to that very first slide, I would like to entitle it, Sister Lily, right in the beginning, The At-One-ment. If you look at this atonement, you'll see that if you break it up, it is actually the in-one-ment. And I want to speak tonight how that the blood of Jesus Christ, the love, life that's in the blood, makes us at-one-ment.
Oh, praise God.
With Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Now, if you don't get anything else in the service this evening, would you just pay attention there for a moment? Yes. We need to become in one with Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Now, throughout our reading, you will notice, and it's a repeat and it's a refrain over and over again in these verses. The life is in the blood, and ye shall not eat of that blood. You shall not partake it. Now, this is just a little more than just eating blood sausage or blood soup. That kind of grosses me out tonight, but you know, some people like to eat those things, and God is very instructive for the health of the children of Israel, that there's life in the blood of animals. Do not eat it. But here we draw our attention again to verse 11, which says, I have given it to you upon the altar. It's the blood that is applied upon the altar that makes the atonement for sin. It is the blood that was purchased on the cross of Calvary, in which we become in onement with Christ Jesus. It is that way that we become in onement with the blood, with the life that was given through the life of Jesus Christ. And so if we look into, now I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I like Hebrew words. For some reason, Brother John, I sat in Bible study, and we've heard our brother talk, and he's shared some things from the Hebrew and from the Greek, and I know that our salvation is not in the Hebrew and the Greek, but I like some words that come out of it. And so the Hebrew word that is used for atonement is kifel, which has the sound of kafir, or has the sound of kafir. And if you would read in the Oxford Dictionary or in a dictionary, you would find out the meaning for atonement is the action for making amends for the wrong or injury. But now as we reflect through the Bible, because we are Bible readers, we'll find out in the Bible that the first time that we see the word atonement, or however we see it now in the Hebrew, it appears very differently from that of our English dictionary. Instead of just our English dictionary speaking of an action of our amends, of making things wrong, now we begin to see that our interpretation from Scripture comes from boat building. And now I just floored you all, and you're all like, where are you going with this, Brother Steve? But I want you to notice in Genesis chapter 6, as you'll see it on the screen, verse 13, and God said unto Noah, and the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it, cover it. And here comes that Hebrew word, kafir, which means atonement, within and without and with pitch. And we begin to see that as we read in the message of the hour, that the prophet of God would teach us that that pitch is that Holy Spirit. It is God's very life. And in Noah's day, if they would have never placed or covered that boat, that ark, that gopher wood that was porous, if they would never have covered it with pitch, which is the sign of the Holy Spirit, Brother Tim, that boat would have sunk. And we know that in our lives, unless we have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, not just upon our flesh, but the Word of God that changes our being, unless we become in onement with Christ, our lives will sink. We must come to a place of atonement in Christ Jesus. Praise His name. I'm going to have a good time no matter what.
Praise God.
And I have to say, God bless you, Brother Steve. Amen. We're going to do that tonight. But we're coming in onement with Christ. If you are baptized with the Holy Ghost, the free gift that God gave on the day of Pentecost, that the anointing of His Spirit might come and dwell with all flesh, not in just one generation, but generation unto generation, even so as the Lord God would call. That means it's for me.
Yes.
Friend, it didn't all end in 1963 when the cloud came down. We appreciate the Holy Spirit by the word of God. That mighty angel has come and opened himself to the people. But we have come now to a third pole ministry where we take that life inside of our being and we are speaking again. Why? Because we are sealed.
Yeah.
You are sealed with the enonement, the Holy Spirit, the atonement of God. By the blood, through the cross, by the remission of sins, that we might become one with Him.
Yes, amen.
In 1955, in the message of the Ark, Brother Branham would say, The law judge, but the atonement stood between the confessed believer and the judgment. There laid the judgment in the ark, ready to come forth. But when it did, it couldn't, for there was an atonement standing between it and the believer. Oh, praise God. That is what's standing between you and all the things of hell that could come against you. That is your protection. That is your life source. Now there's a Satan and his angels all around us trying to seek and destroy. But God has come that we might have life. That we might have it abundantly, that we might step into his oneness, we might step into the atonement and receive of his mercy. Amen. And Brother Brandon would say it like this as we continue reading. And the believer come and accepted Christ in the shadow and type, the shed blood sprinkled upon the mercy seat. Then he had mercy and he walked away rejoicing because he was free from the judgment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that we're free from the judgment. Brother John spoke of this morning about coming before a white throne judgment. And those that had not come and judged themselves by the word of God would have to come through a white throne judgment. But the blood has been sprinkled. The blood has been applied. And when God looks upon us, friend, what does he see? He sees red through red. He sees there's a bumper around the earth, not just a blood liquid. It's not just blood of bulls and goats, but it's the life of Jesus Christ that's atoning for our sins, the things and the mistakes that we made even just an hour ago. Oh, Brother Steve, just an hour ago we possibly said something we ought not have, or we thought something we ought not have. And the blood is there. The life that was in the blood is standing there. That word, it's judged us already, and we are rejoicing and we walk free because the word of God has judged us and made us right by the atonement of the blood. In paragraph 121, and it says, and there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Brother Branham quotes, and when a man knows that he has died to the things of the world, Lord Jesus, help us to have that understanding, to die to the things of the world. And those that get in Christ Jesus and walk according to the Holy Spirit and not the ways of the sinful world, there is no condemnation, what? To him. You're not walking with all kind of your mind full of condemnation. You're not struggling day in, day out. Lord, have I missed it? Have I missed it? No, you recognize the life that was in the blood has already taken care of all of your situation. And he can look into the face of all of hell and judgment and rejoice because the blood of Christ is making atonement, standing between him and judgment. Hallelujah. I think we got to give a praise and clap offering to God. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us.
Amen.
In Romans chapter 5, verse 9, it says, much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. It's not by any prophet. It's not by any sort of a good founder. It's by Jesus Christ. Verse 10, for if they were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Praise his name. Saved by his life. Verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement.
Amen.
Amen. Receive this unto yourself like it was the first time you heard it. We've been down the road a while, haven't we? It was years ago that we received the Lord Jesus into our lives. But that's not the only time we receive him. Receive him tonight. It's by whom we are now received the atonement, the life source. Now we have received the understanding, the revelation. It's been unveiled to us. The veil has been lifted off of our understanding that it's not just the natural properties of an animal that could save us from sin. You see, as they under the law, as they brought their bulls and their goats and their sheep and so forth for sacrifice, they came once a year and they brought a lamb that was perfect, and it would identify for their sin of the year. It would identify, and they would put their hands upon that poor little lamb as they would chip away at its neck, and blood would be squirting all over the place, and it would run over their hands, and they would put their forward heads against it, and they would identify with that lamb. That was their sin offering. It was their life source. It was their token for that, for just the year to go by. But God looked at that and he said, you know, that was something I allowed to do and I had them do, but there's something perfect that would come that wouldn't take your sin away for just moments. But it would do something that would change somebody's life, not just renovate it. No, it would take somebody that had a beast nature. And Brother Branham would tell us that if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you just have a beast nature. You just have that animalistic nature within inside of you. But when God's life comes inside of you, it makes you from that beastly nature into godly nature. So we read in our text, and we know from Leviticus chapter 17, it relates, don't eat the blood of these animals. Right. You know, the life is in the blood. Don't do these things. Now, you'll recognize with me that when you eat something, it becomes part of you.
That's true.
Yes. And the old saying would be, you are what you eat. Now, don't look too closely. I am on a diet. And I stopped eating McDonald's, so I'm not, you know, praise the Lord, sis, we are on the same page, amen. We sometimes get a little natural around here and talk about going for a walk and getting your feet in the grass and getting on a diet, because you know, so I mean, naturally, that's really good for our bodies. But I want you to see, it has nothing to do about just our natural selves. God is trying to give us a spiritual understanding that whatever you eat of, you become. And so he says in here, there is a life union. When you eat of it, it becomes part of you and it becomes a life union.
Yeah.
Now, again, here we go. There's a Latin word that speaks of life union. And it's called communio, which is in the English communion. Which also states in our minds and our hearts through the scriptures that you are communing with God. When you take of his word, when you take of his life, you become part of him. You become at one with Christ Jesus. This is why we encourage you to listen to the tapes. This is why we encourage you most Sundays to read your Bibles and to pray, because whatever you eat, it becomes life union with you. It means it becomes part of your communion of who you are. And so Jesus is telling these animals, you are not in life union with the animal. You can't be part of this animal. You just continue in a beastly nature. You can't have communion with a beast. An animal life is unequal to those made in the divine image of God. We are created in the image of God. And so this animal life is no good for us. It doesn't do any good for our communion. It merely just covers our problem or our situation. Now, like in most things in the Old Testament, and we love to read the Old Testament because it's types and shadows, but we see now a greater fulfillment that God has for us. In 1960, in the message, God's provided a way, approach of fellowship. You see, Brother Branham wanted us to get to fellowship with God. And the only way into fellowship with God is through the blood, by the cross, at the atonement.
Yes, praise God.
There's no other way. You must come that way all the time through the blood. God's provided way through the blood by the altar, which is the cross, unto the atonement, which is to be one with God, a union with God.
Amen.
He says here, the blood of bulls and blood of sheep could not take the place, or neither could it perfect the believer that come. Because the life that was in the blood was an animal's life. And the animal life could not coincide with human life. But when one come who was more than human, he was
God.
He was
God.
He was God. I'm speaking about the blood of God.
Yes.
We're not just speaking about a prophet today. We're speaking about the prophet. He was God. And then when he died and the blood cell was broke, then sin was divorced. Sin was put away forever. Praise his name. It's divorced out of our lives. And that old man, that old nature has died, and we have taken a new husband, which is Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, I want to point something out here now as we kind of transition in our thoughts. We recognize that humanly, they were instructed not to eat the blood of an animal.
Yeah.
And we also realize from Leviticus, foreshadowing into the future, that it would be atonement. It would be Jesus Christ who would come and atone us through the blood. But now our Lord Jesus, now let's set the scene for a minute. Our Lord Jesus comes on the scene and he's born of no reputation. In fact, he walks the earth and they look at him and they criticize for who he was. Some heard his teachings gladly. Some looked at him and gathered because they thought it was a strange situation that here this man would come forth teaching and preaching and healing the sick. And they were beginning to think, where does he fit in all of this? And some received in their hearts and just some could not receive. And so from our studies, we understand that, you know, the Jews up to that point, they were practicing heavily the Levitical law.
Yeah.
And Jesus tried to teach them, look, I have come to fulfill the law. Okay, and they just could not get their heads around the fact the Lord Jesus had come. They were looking for somebody more of a monarch status, somebody that was great, some superstar, but they weren't looking for somebody with no reputation. And Jesus went preaching from synagogue, from place to place, and healing the sick and giving kind words. And so they heard it, but also they believed fully and strongly in the Levitical law.
Yeah.
And in the Levitical law, if you'll think for a moment, most likely from the time Moses was given the law to the time Jesus came upon the earth as the Word made flesh, most likely there were some that did eat blood. Most likely there's some that did break the law. That's not written in Scripture. But as humans are humans, people break things. And people understood, you break the law, you die.
Yes.
It's a very serious thing. Now, grace has come to fulfill the law, and the blood covers our sin. And when we make a mistake, we merely come to the Lord. We're not facing death to the flesh daily because we put ourselves upon the altar and say, Lord Jesus, judge our sin now and take it from us. But during that Levitical time, they were facing death by the law. And now Jesus arrives and he says these words in John chapter 5, verse 46. He says, if you believed Moses, you would believe me. For he wrote of me. Now we read this and we say, okay, that's nice because we see beginning book and we see the end of the book. But now you're standing in a crowd just like this and Jesus is preaching to you. And he says, well, if you read about Moses and you know about Moses, then you know about me because Moses wrote about me.
Yeah.
Well, they were about to chase you right out of the room. Because they didn't have a revelation of exactly who Jesus was. And Jesus stood there and they looked at him and said, well, he's not even 50 years old. And he speaks about Moses and the prophets like he knows them on a first hand. Then in John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus says unto them these words, I am the bread of life.
Yes.
Wow. If you think for a moment, they're Levitical 17 believers.
Yeah.
Eat flesh that has blood in it, eat blood of the flesh, you shall surely die. They've been preaching this Levitical doctrine over, and Jesus comes on the scene and he says these words, I am the bread of life.
Amen.
He that cometh to me shall never hunger.
Right.
What's going on here? See, Jesus, he transfers the meaning of atonement or at-one-ment unto himself.
Amen.
He's taking part. He's showing that I am the Lamb.
Yes.
I'm the Lamb that's going to be slain. And Jesus makes a parallel between the bread of God and his flesh. Can you see that, of course, in Scripture? And then as we continue in John chapter 6, verse 51, he says, I am the living bread which come down from heaven.
Yes.
If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever.
Praise God.
And the bread that I give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Amen. Verse 52. Now, the Jews therefore strove amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Remember, I'm pointing out again, they're Levitical 17 believers.
Yep.
How can this man get up and say, if we eat, and Brother Brandon would say, they're going to call, they called him an vampire or cannibal. How in the world? He's telling us to eat him. And Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Well, I just want to let you know that if somebody got up and you were Levitical believers, you couldn't get out that door fast enough.
Right. Yes.
Because you knew the price of eating flesh and blood was death.
Yeah.
But they were missing something. They were missing. They were hearing on the natural form of eating natural flesh and eating natural blood.
Yes.
Here's the problem. Like most people, they weren't listening. Did you know you can be in a room and hear and not hear? Come on, brothers, you should have a larger amen, because we do it all the time. Amen, Brother Andy, right? Our wives, they say something to us, we hear it, but we don't hear it, you know? We just kind of go, yes, brother, there's an honest brother just right there, and I won't say his name because it'll be all over the internet. You know something?
Yeah.
We can hear, but we don't hear. There's a spiritual battle going on, and the enemy was trying to keep that understanding of revelation from them.
Yeah.
You see, they're only paying attention to the natural things, the 5,000 being fed. Oh, they could accept that, or they could see the miracles go. Oh, that was wonder. But when Jesus was now preaching to them the third pole doctrine, what happened? They went on their way.
Yeah.
In this hour, life come. The Pentecostal life was amongst the people. But they were happy to take the first pole and signed in the hand and the discernment of hearts, a Messiah sign. But when the word began to open,
yeah,
and begin to place the people and begin to put them in a spot where they would have to partake of the life source itself, they walked away with sad hearts because they could not receive the opening of the word for their hour.
Yeah.
But Jesus had already told them, but they missed it. In John chapter 6, verse 27, he already told them it's not about natural meat. He says, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say to you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life. He's pointing to something spiritual, but they completely missed it. You see, it's just a secret to those that can receive the revelation. Many hear this broadcasted truth of the Word of God.
Yep.
Friends, we're not the first people that say God answers back.
Right, for sure. That's true. Yeah.
He answers back. That's a surety.
Yes.
We see in Brother Branham's ministry, God answered back.
Yes.
Before Brother Branham's ministry, God answers back.
Amen.
And God is continually answering back, but God, it's not just about the miracles.
Right.
It's about the life that's inside the miracle.
Hallelujah.
It's the life that changes folks. It's the life that changes us into new creation. Not just a temporary miracle that heals you today and there's nothing forward. We need salvation, the greatest miracle that God has given. Never fail not to give the people the word. Show them that God answers, but give them the word. This is life. Sister Cynthia, this is what changed you.
Yes.
This took away your hardships. This took away the feelings that you had and caused you to walk this last year. Isn't that wonderful? It's the word of God that does it for us. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. They said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? They still want works. We just want to, what do we do? What do we do? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God that ye believe. That ye believe. It's not, you don't go home and don't prepare a meal of flesh and blood. No, ye go home and believe on him who he has sent. That's the word of God. Brother Branham was saying why it had to be shepherds. He never explained it. He just said he did it to stumble them, to separate the sheep from the goats. Hallelujah. He spoke the word. He didn't labor on the believing part. He just put it out there and said, you need to believe, and forward it up afterward by saying, eat my flesh and drink my blood. You know, it wasn't the altar of thousands of beasts that died to cover sin yearly. You know, it was a lawgiver, you know, stood amongst them. The lawgiver, Christ Jesus, he stood amongst them. And he presented himself as the atonement.
Yes. Yeah.
Stood right before them.
Yeah.
He said, you need to be at one with me.
Yeah.
This is the atonement. He said, pitch your lives with this holy God that has life in, that will seal you in the ark of safety.
Yep.
So we recognize that it is the blood of God. Many don't want to preach about the blood of God no more. We want to just go down the alley of preaching about there and the seals and all the things that we must know and understand what God has done for today through the seals.
Amen.
But it's the blood of God that moves us.
Yeah.
It moves. That's what's going to bring a body change, is the life.
Right.
Not a historical gospel somewhere, though we preach it and we should understand what God has done.
Yeah.
But it's the life what God had done through the seven seal, through the seven churches, through the seven thunders. It's that life that's come across. Let's not miss it, friends.
Amen.
We're speaking about life union. We're speaking about becoming one with Christ. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 26, it says these words, and I'll be closing shortly. If you can just kind of keep with me for just a minute. And they said, and they were eating, and Jesus took bread and blessed it. And he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples. Now, he's fulfilling exactly in symbol form of what was going to happen.
Right. Yeah.
We do this. We tried to do this in a regular basis in our church services.
Amen.
Because Jesus spoke, if you can believe on me, and then he spoke about eating flesh and drinking blood. And now, here at this last moment, at this last supper, he's going to speak and he's going to just communicate with his 12 about how it must be in communion with him.
Yes.
And Jesus took the bread and blessed it and break it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. See, it was a secret to a few. It has nothing to do with real flesh.
Yeah, right.
This has to do in symbol for, this is my body.
Right.
And he took up the cup and gave thanks and gave to them and saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood, the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remissions of sins.
Amen.
Now, what's the purpose of this all? What are we speaking the life for? It's for so that you might be quickened.
Yes, Lord. Yes, yes.
The whole purpose of us giving our hearts to God and loving God is that we live eternally with him. Is that all right?
Yep, that's right.
Brother MacPitt, if we don't go get to heaven and we don't rejoice together and we're not sitting with Jesus and being the Lamb's wife, what purpose all is all of this?
Right. In vain.
Right? But we need to take of what she's speaking, and it may be in symbol form, but we need to take it into our hearts, have it become life union with us, a communion with us.
Yes.
And may it communicate to you tonight that this life will quicken you.
Hallelujah.
It will quicken you to be a life lived.
Amen.
God wants lives to live.
Yep.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespass and sins, wherewith in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Listen, we're all, well, until we got the Holy Ghost, we're all servants of the devil. Wow, Brother Steve, that's really strong. Yeah, it really is, because we had beastly natures, sinful natures, but something changed us. You're sitting here tonight because something changed you. It's warm in here. Half of you are tired. We had a busy day today. We've been serving the Lord for the last days. I mean, we're here now because we desire that God would mold us even more into his image. Shave off a little. I got a little part here, Lord, that's just rough. Would you just take it and take your embry cloth and just rub it off?
Yeah. Yes, Lord.
Take off that chip, you know, that's there.
Yes. Amen.
And the enemy, that one, the power of the air, he's working, he's working, he's trying to destroy you. He's a thief.
Yes.
Amen.
He's trying to rob you of your goods.
Yes, that's right.
Quit opening your doors in the night of your spiritual night and say, walk in, devil, take what you want. The life that's inside of you can speak and cause the enemy to flee out of your situation.
That's right.
Verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But I love this now. Seal this in your heart. But God,
yes, hallelujah,
who is rich in mercy.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the blood. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. Yes. Thank you for the atonement. Thank you that we can be in one mint with you. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins.
Right.
Remember, there's nothing you could do here. Even when you were dead in sins, hath quickened us together.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Quicken us together. What? Is it just a body together? No. It's him and us together.
Yes.
It's the atonement. It's the atonement.
Yes.
He's quickened us, Christ and you together.
God.
With Christ. By grace are ye saved. By the atonement, you have received a reconciliation, restoration, and favor with God. The word quick, the next quotation, Brother Brown will say, the word quick means resurrect, which means restored a dead person to life. From our old forms of life, a new and living hope that lies within our hearts. We have been what? Quickened, restored. That which was dead is now, praise God, hallelujah, it's now alive.
Amen.
You know something? We have a brother that comes and reads the Psalms on Sunday morning to us. And he stands before us. I'm blessed. I'm not saying this to work a person up or make them feel good. But you know, when that word of God is read, it's read with a quickening.
Yes. Praise God.
I listen to the Psalms all the time. I like that for devotion. But when there's a son of God that will stand before the people and begin to read with the knowledge of the word of God, that which is in the inside is quickening.
Yeah.
It comes alive.
Amen.
The word lives. This is what we want to see. Our young people want to see. We want to see it. When we go outside there, people want to see life. They've seen enough counterfeit out there. They've seen television evangelists that blow on people and they fall over. They've seen people, you're healed. They've seen legs growing on television, watching on YouTube. They grow. They've seen it all.
Yeah.
Brother John, but when we stand there, in our community. It doesn't need to be a one-time event for 10 days. When we stand up there where we are, and the life that's within you is quickened and it's pulling from you, let me tell you, people begin to know that Christ is alive. Amen. That you drunk of his blood. You've eaten of his flesh. Why? Because that life is life union with you. It's communal inside of you.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's made us alive in Christ together. I'd like to take of my 5 minutes left that I have. I'd like just to take a look at the blood for just a moment. That life. And this is going to be the fastest preaching you ever heard Brother Steve ever preach. But I just want to look at this analysis of this blood for a moment. That's changed you.
Yes.
It's perfect. It's perfect.
Yes, amen.
It's the blood of God. It's perfect. It is pure. It's the purest blood. 1 Peter 1:19 says, the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. It's pure. It comes from a pure source. Amen. A born lamb that was come to take away the sins of the world. Mm-hmm. We read in 1 John 3:5, in him is no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. Amen. When Pilate saw him, he said, I find no fault in him. He could become a high priest for us that was holy. He was undefiled. He separated from sinners. He was made higher than the heavens. He was the perfect lamb. Perfection is inside of his blood. Be perfect as I am perfect. Why? If you are in life union with him, you can't help but come into perfection. Now look at your old faults. The blood covers. Cry out, say, Lord, cover me. But he's looking at the perfect blood that is inside of you. I want you to also to know today that it is a blood that brings forth a healing quality. By his stripes we are healed. You can read all through the message. Brother Brown begins to preach and begins to teach the people. But what comes in behind? It's the life source that shows forth that there's healing in the wings of the anointed word, the anointed life of God, the blood. The blood is perpetual, which means it's never ending, never changing. I am God and I change not. I will change. Your brother will change. We, from time to time, depending on our season in life, we think differently. We try to do good, but sometimes we think differently. But God never changes. Hallelujah. In the message, making a way. If you got eternal life, you will never have to an end. It's eternal. Life lives on. Perpetual. Think of it. Perpetual life has no end.
Praise God.
What's inside of you tonight? It's not the life of bulls and goats. That does not coincide with animal. Our lives don't coincide with animal lives. It's the life of God.
Amen.
A human blood cell, it dies. A human always is changing.
Yes.
All the time with inside of your body, your body's producing blood all the time. And it's eliminating blood and producing blood and eliminating blood. Why? Because it changes. But God never changes. It always stays the same. I've asked the Lord Jesus to break that blood cell within your life. Break it open with your life. And let it spread all over your being that you would recognize that eternal life lives on the inside of you. You're sitting here tonight knowing that you are redeemed. You're sitting here tonight knowing that the blood has transforming power. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Those lusts of the flesh, the things that will cloud your mind, the things of your body, it's all gone away. Why? Because Christ has paid for it through the union, through the communion that he has given unto the people called his bride. Yeah. Listen, it's important for you to be the bride. Yeah. Please don't settle for less. Please don't take a chance to do good to the bride. Brother John preached it this morning. Wonderful. And we're thankful for people that do good to the bride. But don't you take the chance under my voice tonight. You know too much.
Yeah, that's it.
If there be somebody out there in the jungles that is kind to you and gives you a glass of water, that be something. But the people in the United States know way too much. And if they're doing the things of the world, friends, let me tell you, they need the cross. They need the blood. They need the life. Let's go and preach this gospel. Give them that life. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ. If they turn an ear and will not hear the words of God, that's between them and their maker. But we must give them the opportunity of this word that stands before us.
Yeah, that's right, amen.
Speak of his goodness. Speak of his goodness and then hand them the word. Speak of his goodness and then hand them life. This is what's going to change them.
Yeah.
Is the life of
amen.
God.
Right.
Father, we come before you today. Lord, we want to step by step walk with you, Lord. My Jesus, I want to become more in your image every day. I thank you, Lord, for the blood. And I'm never tired of the blood because, Father, when I make a mistake, I'm so thankful that there's a buffer there. I read in the Levitical law, if they would have broke the law, there was immediate death. Even when they brought the woman of adultery, heard the psalm this morning, if they brought the woman of adultery to them, they were looking a pronouncement of death, but the grace giver had come. And he said, neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more. Oh God, and that was before the blood cell was broke open for us. Oh, you were upon the earth, but now, Father, you've come in the form of the Comforter, and you've come amongst your people, and you're announcing, if I live in you, and you be part of me.
Yes.
Oh God, then there would be a life union, a gathering together, a communal, Lord. Oh God, may it become part of us more, we pray. Every day, every day, every day. Let us not let it down, Father. But may the life live inside of us, we pray. If there would be a need in the building tonight, I know of several needs tonight that they need the blood source. We need the healing power and the transforming power of God, the redeeming power of God. Oh, the perpetual power of God. They need it in their lives. I wonder if you would be here tonight and say, Lord Jesus, would you come to my seat? We won't take much longer, but if you just reach out and say, Lord, would you come to my seat? Would you come to my seat, Lord? Give me more of that life. Lord, I've started down the way. I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. I want more of that life, Lord. I want to drink of it more. Fill my cup, Lord. Oh, lift it up. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Oh, bread of life. You are the bread of life. Come, Lord, and feed us today. Feed us till we want no more, that we are strengthened by your word, we pray. Bless those that have raised their hands as honest hearts, desiring, and may there be victory in our hearts, Lord, by the moving and the rushing mighty wind of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that's inside of our being, not just blowing on upon our flesh and upon the hairs of our head, but inside of our being, continually moving inside of us, Lord. Move, O God, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Why don't you stand together?